You're welcome back to the programme. A caller says, my heart goes out to these women in this county. We have to constantly fight for everything, yet others are coming into this country and being handed everything for free. Caroline should not have to fight for anything other than her health. And Helen's case is typical of all parents of children with extra needs. The priorities in this country are all wrong, they say. Greg, there are 17 houses in Milford still sitting empty. Why is there no push to have them given to someone to live in? No house in a housing crisis should be empty. Another caller says, this country really stinks. How can we house immigrants and asylum seekers when we treat our own citizens in this way? Let me see if there's more on that topic. 54 new houses sitting here the past 2 years and nobody in them yet. We're to be allocated at the beginning of 2024. People here in Carndonagh don't know why. It does great if there are properties of vacant when people are stuck. A caller says the thresholds in this county are an absolute joke and stuck in the market from 15 years ago. I'm the sole earner supporting a full house of six, two with special needs and under 40k. And I'm above the threshold for social housing, despite all my dependents and costs and under-earning. So instead, I'm stuck paying 60% of my salary and rent. And that's only going to go up if I have to move, as everywhere is now on average €400 more expensive than last year when I moved in here. So can you imagine being the sole earner in a house, earning under 40k, six kids, two with special needs, and still not qualifying for any supports? That is your working poor, folks. Greg, can you get some landlord on to justify how their costs increased by 200% to justify the increase in rents over the last decade? I don't understand how a house was €500 a month 5 years ago and now 2,000 a month. Can someone justify this, or are you all just greedy scam artists? Landlords in this country should absolutely be ashamed of themselves and are a prime example as to why private rental is an immoral market that shouldn't exist. I don't know why it is like that. I mean, I presume there are more people than there are houses available, and that drives up the prices, and then there becomes an average price, and then people, you know, with new rents go to that average price. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but, you know, if there are no houses, you can charge a premium. Hi, Greg. We know quite a few of our councillors that have many, many rental accommodations in the county. Let's see how many of them come on and try and help Caroline now with suggestions or even a place to rent. Hi, Greg. Caroline's story is heartbreaking. What is more tragic is that if a Ukrainian or asylum seeker presents seeking accommodation, no means test apply and accommodation will be found. And I mean, also to, you know, in the private rental sector, and this is in no way to pitch one group of individuals against another, please don't for a second think that that's what I'm trying to do. But if you are a Ukrainian and you are moving out of hotel accommodation, for an example, as many have, you do have, you know, is it 600 yet? You certainly had 800 and it'll be down to €600 cash in your pocket going into the private rental sector. So how can Caroline compete with that when there is another section of society that has a €600 advantage on her? And as I say, that's not being anti anything because that's just the system as it is. But that's going to make the private rental market complicated. Do you get where I'm coming from? I'm not begrudging it. But why is Caroline not receiving €600 or €800 per month to assist her with her rent? Because there's no way she can compete in terms of renting, if that makes sense. Hi, question. Is this new thing on insurance automatic renewal? I got an email to say that my travel will be automatically renewed and my husband had van insurance and it was automatically renewed, even though we hadn't got a van anymore. Wow, okay, that's crazy. What normally works, I can't speak to travel insurance, but what the way I understand it with car insurance, vehicle insurance, like say for instance my insurance renews on the 1st of January of the year, I'll normally get a letter on, you know, maybe the first week of December, last week of November, with my proposal for the next year. If I do not reply to that, it is they automatically renew. So I'm not sure if your husband received a renewal notice on the van and disregarded it because he no longer has a van. But certainly with car insurance, my understanding is that they contact you a month or so in advance with a renewal offer. And then after that, if you don't reply, it's renewed. If you do, well, you're engaging with them then. Right, I just want to play a couple of requests before our break as I get our next guest into the studio. listener, or onto the programme, I should say. Hi, Greg. Can you please give a wee shout out to my beautiful wife and our kids, beautiful Mammy Emma, also known as the wee Donegal Mammy, who is recovering in hospital. We thought on Monday evening that we could have lost her. She was so ill, but thanks to the staff at LUHED in Resus and the input from the medical team and ICU team, she's on the road to recovery. Can you give her all our love from her husband, Lawson, and their kids? Now, I didn't know Emma was ill at all. Obviously for a period of time, very ill. So fair play to the medical teams down there for getting her hopefully now fully back on the road to recovery. And we pass on our best wishes, as I'm sure all our listeners do as well. Happy birthday to the postmistress in our draw, Kathy Diver, celebrating a very important birthday today from Jackie and all her junior postmen. Happy birthday to you, Kathy. Another one to Kathy Diver, our lovely postmistress in our draw. Happy birthday from Patrick and Janet McGill in Salou at the minute. We will celebrate when we get back. What's the loo like? It's toasty over there, I'd imagine. Please say good luck to the boys and girls from Skullishgan in Buncrana, just getting on the bus, heading to the Aviva Stadium to play in the five-a-side national finals. All three teams, boys, girls, and Football for All, won the Ulster finals a week ago. Good luck to all. So well done. Safe travels, Skullishgan. We wish you the very best of luck. Hopefully you'll be able to build on that Ulster success in today's national competitions in the Aviva Stadium. All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Did you know that there are almost 19,000 family carers in Donegal? Ireland's family carers are this week being encouraged to participate in events marking National Carers Week. In case you're not aware, there's been a big increase in those providing unpaid care. Almost a third of women in their 40s and 50s are now caring, which is really important because we're right in our demographic there. So almost one in three of the women listening to this show in the 40s and 50s are carers, and they know that themselves. I just want to make the population more broadly aware of this fact. Patricia Blee is Community Support Manager for Donegal with Family Carers Ireland. And Patricia, every effort is made to try and accommodate people, but I do note, and it feels a little ironic that, you know, when we have Carers Week and there are in-person sort of events, that, you know, people struggle to get respite to be able to attend such events. Now, I know there is a blend of sort of virtual and in-person, but it always sort of reminds me of the plight of carers, that many can't actually even engage in in-person events to mark the work that they do.
Yeah, and I would completely agree with you there, Greg. And it is something in Family Carers Ireland that we have noticed is a challenge when we put on in-person events, but even our online events, we have a full range of online activities that are run with our support manager virtual. But it's even people trying to get the time to come onto these because there's a lack of respite, there's a lack of appropriate and regular respite as well. We know across the country, but especially in the Northwest and in areas like Donegal, we do see it.
And we have an ageing demographic, particularly in Donegal as well. So we're not going to see a downward trend in these figures. That is just a fact that we know. And there's also a bit of an exodus of a younger cohort as well. So I don't know where gaps are going to be filled down the line. But what we need to be doing is accepting that we know where we're going and actually, you know, introduce policies to acknowledge that.
Yep. And I think like that, it's very important to realise that these family carers, so like that, there's around 19,000 across the county of Donegal, but there's 500,000 across Ireland. So that's about 1 in 8 of us are family carers. By 2030, like that, the number we're expecting is going to jump to 1 in 5. Family carers themselves, they provide 19 million hours of unpaid care work each week. Like, they save the state 20 billion euro annually. And to kind of put that number in perspective, because I know we hear these numbers, these facts, these figures, the HSE's annual budget for the year is 27 billion. So if every carer tomorrow dropped tools, put them down and said no, our health service would collapse within seconds. So we do need to recognise the hard work, the often unseen and exhausting work that these family carers are providing to keep our communities going, to keep our health services thriving and going. I think it's very important that we do recognise it.
Yeah, indeed. And in doing so, you know, I mean, obviously, a lot of the care falls to women. You know, there's no point anyone getting their back up about that. That is the fact. And obviously, sometimes it can be children that are born to you that you're caring for. But I think a lot of women sort of in their, you know, in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe as their parents' years advance, and maybe when they've got their own kids raised and they just think, you know, now it's my time. And if the truth be told, even in a family with boys in, it's often falls to a daughter in that house to step in and do caring. And, you know, I mean, they want to do it, I'm sure, but it's not a devotion. They're not nuns. You know, they're giving up a great deal of their own time, becoming isolated, dealing with the pressure of it, you know, with very little, if any, supports there, you know. And there's a lot of people listening, I think, to this show right in that boat.
Yep. And we do see that. We do see that the majority of carers are women, but there is an increasing amount of carers that are men as well. So I do just want to
recognize
put that out there.
Them,
and I
yeah.
especially for, I suppose, more rural areas, as I'm sure the people kind of more in the Midlands and Dublin would call us here in the Northwest, the more rural areas like Donegal and Leitrim and Sligo. We do see like that as well, kind of the sandwich caring ages, the generation. So women and men in their 30s, 40s, 50s who maybe they have children that they're still rearing, because children are never fully reared, no matter what age they are, but they're still your children, you're still caring for them. But like that, then there could be parents or in-laws, aunts, uncles that they're caring for as well. So there's this cohort now that are in a sense trapped for that. For a lot of people, caring isn't something that they may choose to do. It's something that they have to do,
yeah.
like that, because there isn't as much home support or even supports and services in the areas. It's something that mm-hmm. is, in a sense, forced upon them, but it is something that they will still do because we love our
But
loved
we
ones.
Can help them, though. I mean, like, you know, you could see your friends going for a weekend away. You can't do that. You know, you yeah. can't do it. And even if you did, you would feel the pressure and so on and so forth. And there's a million examples. The thing about it, too, is we've got, you know, 500,000 people, you know, probably, you know, struggling in silence. If they were nurses, there's a union there that can speak on their behalf. You know, if they're teachers, there's a union there that can step up and say, right, enough is enough. And I know the likes of your organisation advocates, don't get me wrong, I'm not diminishing that in any way, shape or form. But we have a massive cohort of the population that effectively feel like they're on their own, because it's very hard to get a united voice on this. And we know the noisiest wheels get the oil. So What? I mean, we'll talk about the initiative that's running at the moment, the Heart of Gold Pin, but what can the state do, do you think? You talked of the cost, you know, 20 billion. So, I mean, we're not going to sort all that out and everyone's not going to get paid. But what simple measures or proposals do you think might work?
So, I think an important one would be around the carers guarantee. So, back in 2018, Family Carers Ireland first proposed a carers guarantee to eliminate this postcode lottery that we see with a lot of supports and services. So we do know nationwide that there are incredible vacancies across the HSE with home care. It's very hard to get healthcare workers.
Well, our budget's exhausted here. That is actually just a fact. There's no there's no additional hours. Even if you've been allocated additional hours for home care, there's no funding for them. And there's no additional home care packages. So you have this awful situation that you might get a call for a home care package, but it means that someone else no longer needs it for a reason that might seem obvious, right? So our budget in this part of the world is exhausted. We rely heavily on the HSE to provide it. In Dublin, it's not such a big issue, right? Because they use private packages. So the wait times down there are minimal, yet up here in the sticks, because of our policies and our funding, we are waiting for additional hours or even any home care packages. And sorry to keep rattling, you wonder why there is issues with Letterkenny University Hospital. Well, part of the problem is that they can't discharge people into the community, and this all feeds into this situation. Patricia, sorry, I went on a rant there. But
no, you're okay. And it's very understandable, especially when it is respite, because respite is, as the support manager for Donegal, it is an issue that comes up quite regularly with the carers that I will be supporting. And like that, it is, a lot of it is down, unfortunately, to the postcode lottery, to the areas like the West Northwest getting less funding. Maybe that there's not as many healthcare workers available, but like that, going back to the carers guarantee, when we first proposed this to the government in 2018, the previous programme for government then, which was published in 2020, included a commitment to end the postcode lottery from through delivering a full carers guarantee, which, as they stated, will provide a core basket of services to carers across the country. To date, Family Carers Ireland has received a recurrent funding of 1.9 million towards an estimated total cost of 5.3 million in 2022. And then in 2024, we received a further 560,000. The new programme for government has committed to fully funding the carers guarantee. So we do anxiously await that, because with the carers guarantee, we can then also provide respite packages. So say like that, there is a man or a woman waiting to get out of Letterkenny Hospital. They need a home care package. Maybe there's not the HSE staff available in the area. They can outsource it to the Section 39 organisations, such as ourselves, who have that service available for carers. And then we can fulfil the hours, so that it might only be one person who has the hours, but it's one more person who is receiving what they should be receiving.
Yeah, I get you. I think we should be moving in on this stuff, right, rather than wait for it. You know, it reminds me of the recent documentary on, or the recent RT Investigates on nursing homes. You know, like all of a sudden then it's a spring to action. HICWA must do this, we must do that. You know, why, particularly in the care of older people, does it have to be like shock and awe? Why can't we sort of say, right, we know what's happening, we've got the statistics, we know where we're at now, and we know where we're going. We need to be putting something in place. Because, you know, what about the health of carers then? What about their earning capacity, right? So then they can't work often, or they're juggling work and caring. So they're not being able to contribute in that regard, but also to their health deteriorates potentially if they're under particular pressure, you know. So it's a, for me, I would imagine it's a no-brainer. Right, okay, so talk to me briefly about, you've mentioned the Heart of Gold pin, so you've talked about that, haven't you? That runs throughout June. Where can they be bought? Did you mention that? Sorry, I was listening intently, but I also was momentarily distracted.
No, you're all right, don't worry about it. So this week now is National Carers Week, so like that, we do have events and activities running nationwide. Tomorrow now, Thursday the 12th of June, is our Heart of Gold campaign. So we are urging the public to buy our Heart of Gold pin for €2 throughout June, but especially tomorrow if they can. Each €2 gold heart then helps go towards the cost of funding essential services that Family Carers Ireland provide. So we have counselling services available. We do training, advocacy, care clinics, our national free phone care line. Kind of the list goes on and we could be talking all day about it. But these supports and services are lifelines for a lot of the carers that we are supporting to help them cope with the daily realities of their life. We are very lucky and very proudly supported this year by Lidl Ireland. So our gold hearts will be available in Lidl stores nationwide. So they have been available through...
I've got to go with Daldi looking for these pins. I always get the two blooming things mixed up, right? Yeah, okay.
A lot of people do as well. It's quite shocking that they'll go in and they'll tell us, oh, we didn't see it.
I know. So it's Lidl.
They're like, oh, no, Lidl. Lidl, because okay, Lidl have proudly sponsored us for this year.
Fair play to them, actually.
They are our charity sponsors. And honestly, they've gone above and beyond as it is. I'm not too sure. You might have seen our ad on TV at the moment.
That's
all from Lidl Ireland. They've been absolutely amazing with us.
It's not insignificant. And, we often view them as sort of international companies, but they're buying local, they're employing local, and of course, too, supporting. Thanks so much indeed, Patricia. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. Great having you
on the show. All right, Slán. See you soon. Bye-bye. Now, Noel Cunningham, author of A Guide to Modern Irish Manners and of Harvey's Point Hotel. Good morning to you, Mr. Cunningham. How are you?
Good morning, and I hope you're hearing me loud and clear.
Either by skill or coincidence, yes, I am.
A pure coincidence, I assure you. How are you?
I am doing good.
To your listeners.
It's good to have you with us on the show. And I was kind of interested in your views, because there was a lot of articles yesterday about the cost of getting married. And I suppose people are doing it in different ways. The average wedding now between 10 and 20,000 euro. I presume you do rake back in quite a bit of that. I'm not really quite sure how that works. But is that about right, 10 to 20,000 euro, or are we going OTT?
I suppose, Greg, my answer to that is this. People are entitled to their dream. And we still have in Ireland that psyche of ours still thinks of the wedding day as a once-off. It's a very special day. It's a celebration. And because of that, there is a certain pressure on people to provide a wonderful day for their guests. And now, strangely enough, maybe because of, you know, the trouble and the terrible time we had during COVID when weddings were very restricted, people have become more circumspect about it. Numbers for weddings in general have dropped back. You know, before for an Irish wedding, you know, 250, 300, you know, would have been a fairly normal number. Now it's much, much smaller. Maybe the average, anything from 175 to 200 would be considered a big wedding. Mm. And yes, but who are we to judge? There are some people that you think, oh my goodness, they have gone a little bit crazy here, you know, because, you know, with all what my mother would call the figgeries, because sometimes, believe it or not, and that's where hotels get the wrong bit of the stick, it's all the optional extras that add hugely to the cost of a wedding. And again, remember, it's all business. It's big business, and people, you know, are depending on those weddings. Hotels in Ireland during the bad times, if it weren't for weddings, a lot of them would be out of business.
Yeah.
And all the wedding suppliers, all kinds of ancillary businesses have grown up around the wedding industry.
The singers, the DJs, the bands, like, I'll put my cards on the table. There's an awful lot going on in this world right now. And if anyone can get any joy by taking out a 10 grand credit union loan, if they can afford it, knock yourself out. Have a fantastic day, because for many people, you only have one go at it. I don't think there's much. It's like, I think people now celebrate stripping stuff back too. You know, I don't think there's a much keeping up with the Joneses with weddings as there used to be. Is there? Or maybe I'm misreading. I've been at a couple of weddings recently where, you know, people were proudly keeping it, you know, very, very classy. Beautiful food, but a bit stripped back and low-key, and saying, you know what, this is the way we want to do it.
I love it. I was at a wedding down the country recently. People who certainly, as one might put it, have a few bob. And a lady beside me said, God, imagine them having a wedding like this. The wedding like that was a barn, a buffet, a wonderful band, no figgeries, just the way they wanted it.
Yeah.
It wasn't about cost. It was about the way they wanted to celebrate that special day. Mm. And yes, there is absolutely no doubt about what you say, that people in Ireland, we as an Irish race, we're more confident. We don't have an inferiority complex as much anymore. And if we want to go into a hayfield with teepees and just have a barbecue, we are confident enough to do that. And that's what I applaud. I love people who sort of basically say, this is the way we want to celebrate our special day. And also, no more than what you said, we have a very sad and tragic world at the moment. How on earth, you know, anybody could deny somebody the joy of having a celebration. And despite what the common sort of rumour out there might be, very few people, very few brides are now taking out substantial loans or grooms to pay for their wedding. Mm. They have it well budgeted. There is no longer that pressure on getting married because you can't live together. People live together, sometimes have children with a view to eventually having the wedding of their dreams that they can afford.
Yeah. And blended families are a thing now. I think that's why I think that there is so much choice as to whether even you get married or not, that really I think it makes for an interesting conversation and an interesting talking point. But, you know, if you're doing it within your means or even pushing it a little bit, well, then so be it. You talked about the size of weddings. Are we seeing a trend that less children are going to weddings now?
You know, I have my own thoughts on children at weddings. I always tend to think that if you're bringing children to a wedding, make provision to have someone perhaps after the church collect them to bring them home, a nanny or a member of the family or a friend. I also think that if you are insisting on having a lot of small children, arrange to have a little separate room with children's entertainment, because the last place a child wants to be is sitting in a ballroom for 3.5 hours, listening to speeches, having dinner. It's just not fair on children. And a lot of people are not including children. And I say to the brides-to-be out there, please do it as you wish and explain to your relations why you're not inviting all the children. Because sometimes it's better to be upfront, straight out.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why that is important? Because what you have is 100 individual invites, let's say, for an example, and the person only opens their own, and they might start wondering, well, is it just my children? Is it all children?
Yeah.
You know, so actually getting that out there to begin with is probably not a bad thing. Stick it on the invite so no one feels that they're personally being targeted, you know, because we hugs as a rascal or something.
You made a very valid point. Be upfront, and more importantly, and I say this to brides and grooms to be in a very, very plain language, make sure that it's one rule for all. Mm. Don't cherry pick and say, oh, we'll invite those but not those because, you know, they didn't come to my mother's wake or some nonsense like that. Have a rule, either you're having children or not.
All right.
Have a rule, you're having a barbecue or not.
Okay.
Have a rule, we're going abroad, that's it. I don't want to hear mammy and daddy saying, oh my God, Auntie Philomena is getting old, she won't be able to go. Sorry, mammy, it's the way we want our wedding, that's it.
Yeah, you don't want to, being a people pleaser is not always a great thing. Now, there's lots of people listening who maybe are celebrating their 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th wedding anniversary, and they would have got parry in china, they would have got glass fruit bowls, cutlery sets, teapots, you know, the boxes at the reception that would have landed. You don't see that much anymore. Is it all cash? Is cash king now?
Well, yes, and it's not just that cash is king, but the reality is, and you touched on it before, we spoke about it, people live together now. They have their home, but they have the ironing board, they have the electric kettle, they have the toaster. You know, it's a different environment we live in. And honestly, and again, I would say that if you know the situation, you will know that perhaps for that bride and groom, a couple of hundred in an envelope will be much more beneficial, helps them pay for the wedding or get something for the home that they want. So be practical, be respectful. But this thing about buying on, you know, gifts that might lie in
clutter.
Their boxes
it's
for
clutter.
Years to come,
yeah.
It's just nonsense. Mm. Because, as I say, there's no longer a bottom drawer. People have everything they want. So therefore, why would I go out buying, as you say, or getting something engraved or embossed? That's murderous. Nobody puts those up.
Now, one other thing
anymore.
Too, I don't want to pee off any of my musical friends, but, you know, I'm not one to hold back. I'm indifferent about bands at weddings, and I know they're standard and they're fantastic, right? I just wonder why you pay a fortune for a version of songs that you could get a DJ for that could get straight in there with a bit of Dancing Queen, you know?
Well, you know, not because you mentioned Dancing Queen, but I will agree to disagree with
all
you.
All right, go on.
Because,
okay.
To be honest, you can't beat a live band
right,
to get
okay,
the
okay.
crack going. If anything, if I had a question mark over it, I would probably say, I'm going to get the band to play an extra half hour.
And get rid of the DJ now.
not at all.
No, I know
I would
that.
Get
I
them
know.
To play a half an hour longer so that when the poor DJ comes on, that the room is so electric, it will be easy for him to keep the party going. No, I'm definitely for the band and the DJ. Good combination.
Okay, then, stop. All right, brilliant. And you know, the one thing, too, we have in this, I was at a wonderful wedding in Harvey's Point not so long ago, by coincidence. Absolutely fantastic. And then at different weddings in different venues for different price points and different options and different scenery, we do have a wealth of choice out there. Did you hear anything about any bookings by famous people in that neck of the woods? No, any?
Look,
I know it happens all the time, but I'm like someone pretty big.
It would
not
be
in Harvey's, but in within spitting distance.
It would be indiscreet of me to comment on any guest that would wish to have a celebration or use our services, and I'll just leave it at that. And you know what? Every bride that gets out of her limousine at our door is a star, is a superstar.
Of course they are, and they're treated as such.
That's the most important thing. And sometimes, can I just say, Greg, the hassle and the stress and all of the various aspects of privacy and exclusion that goes with a celebrity wedding, sometimes you're better off without them. And now, not like the old days, every celebrity couple who gets married has a blanket ban on social media and all of that, and maybe your hotel won't even get a mention. So why would you be bothered?
Why would you be bothered? Exactly. Hey, but I've been at weddings too where you can't post on social media until after the reception or something as well. But anyway, we have a few divas knocking about the place. Noel, thanks very much for your time. Take care. See you soon.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
From one diva to another, lovely to talk to you.
Okay.
And best wishes to all brides and grooms to be.
For sure. Thanks so very much. A caller says we had four at our wedding, including yourselves, I suppose. We're still married many years later. There really is no need for such fanfare nowadays. Hi, Greg. As a wedding photographer, I agree with Noel. Brides, normally the bride, have everything well in order. I have bookings for 2027 and inquiries for 2028 already. A lot of suppliers have also have a pay-up scheme to help with the costs. Yeah, well, good suppliers do. Big weddings nowadays. Years ago, we got lovely tea sets, etc. These days, all couples want is money. It's a money racket. Couples are actually making a profit out of the wedding. Everyone discusses how much was given in the cards. Yeah, indeed, it does happen. But I don't mind. You get a lovely day out. And you give the couple, hopefully you hold them in your heart, you give them a wee hand along the way. Rightio, I'm on the programme now with Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Greg.
I'm good. Now, you've had some contact with Electric Ireland. Tell us the story.
I got a letter from Electric Ireland and also from a company called MDE. And the MDE letter said, over the coming weeks, we will be replacing your electricity meter, which will require a temporary interruption to your electricity supply. Right now, this is a smart meter. Now, about 2 months ago, I renewed my contract with the ESP or Electric Ireland, and I was told I didn't need a smart meter because that's the reason I actually stayed with them, you know. So I phoned them up yesterday, and I was told that I didn't need a smart meter, that we can refuse this. And the only reason I phoned in, Greg, is it is quite the way that it's actually worded. We will be coming. Or over the coming weeks, we will be replacing your electricity meter. So I just wanted to make people aware that they can refuse this. They don't have to get one in.
Yeah, but what you're saying, the phraseology in the letter makes it sound like you have no choice in this, but you've double-checked with your electricity supplier and you still have a choice. You can still reject the replacement of the meter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, I was speaking to a woman in Ballybuffet yesterday who told me that she didn't receive any letter. They just turned up at her house.
Well, there you go. Okay.
And she refused to let them in, like, you know, so they went away again. But obviously, you know, this company is making money out of this, you know. So the more meters they install, the more money they earn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why? I mean, obviously you do know why. What's the resistance for a smart meter, Joe? Are you just happy the way things are?
Yeah, I'm just happy the way things are. I'm not very good with technology. And, there has been a lot of scare stories over the years, whether they're true or not. I'm just happy the way I am, you know. And
for yourself, just erring on the side of caution. All right, Joe, interesting. Yeah. It just lets people know that if they don't want a smart meter for their own reasons, even though the letter might suggest they must change, they don't have to. And it's a bit of public service, public information broadcasting. Thanks, Joe. Safe onward journey. I think he pulled in to accommodate us. Right. Don is on the phone with me now. Hiya, Don.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm doing all right, and we're talking about really the function of now, Doc, the kind of the way it functions now, and yeah. Question marks over some of the sort. So tell us the story is the easiest thing to do, right. And we'll get to the point through that.
Yeah, last Saturday, somebody I know had an accident and sliced the gas, the hand, like, you know, and he was taken to Now Doc. And a fully qualified doctor told him that he couldn't put stitches in his hand and that he had to go to Letterkenny, which took a good while to go there. And he waited in Letterkenny for 2 hours to be given treatment. And I just thought, well, is the Now Doc system fit for purpose when you've got something like this?
It is to have to go from the south of the county, I believe it is. I think it was Now Doc in Mount Charles you went to have to go from Now Doc in the south of the county all the way to Letterkenny because a stitch is a service that would have been provided. I got stitches, if you don't mind. It must be 35 years ago at the hospital there at the turn off to the old Lahey Road, Don. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. 30 odd years ago. In fact, sorry, what I'm on about, it's probably 40 years ago. I got stitches in my wrist and I still have the scar 40 years ago in that hospital. And now, in big modern Ireland in 2025, Now Doc sending people requiring stitches all the way up to the ED at Letterkenny University Hospital.
Yeah. I think the whole thing, I think we seem to be going backwards. I don't know. It doesn't seem very good to me that you can go to a Now Doc and a fully qualified doctor can't put a few suturers in your hand or stitches, like, you know.
Not that it makes, not that it sort of really changes your point, but did Now Doc, I suppose, patch him up or patch her up for the journey?
No. It's been patched up by another person, and before being taken to Now Doc, and but his hand was still bleeding, like, you know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen. What have you the radio on in the background, Don?
I have actually.
Can I hear Niall Delaney in the background and you talking to me in Highland?
Yeah.
you're a buck. All right, Don, come here. He's off air at 11 anyway, so you're welcome over here at 11. Don, listen, thanks very much for that. Take care of yourself. And best wishes to whomever got that nasty cut. And I'm sure they got great care when they eventually got it. But I think the point you were also making, it's not a bit wonder the ED's overcrowded when people are being sent for stitches when they should be able to be done locally. Don, thanks very much for that. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, Don.
All right, bye-bye, Slán. See you, Don. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. 086 60 25,000. Hi, Greg. As a past pupil of Dobeg National School, I'm so sad to see it closing today for the final time. I've got great memories and friends from my time there. It was the focal point of the area. I loved walking past the school to hear the sound of children playing. Unfortunately, it's just the sign of times, our youth all in different parts of the world. Wow, so many memories, you know, good and bad, of course, not because it's Dobeg National School, but because, you know, lots of us have different experiences in schools. But there it goes. How long was Dobeg National School open for? It might be an interesting wee conversation. I'm just talking about it, the history of it. I'm open to that, by the way, if anyone wants to get involved. What a bunch of hypocrites, the very people who are criticising Ryan Tubridy. How can we even be expected to trust these people? I think that's in relation to the pensions. The bottom line is the defence is probably that we didn't know we were being overpaid. Again, my word, I would love to have the resources that I could be overpaid 280 grand and not realise it. You know, that takes, you know, between 5 and 10 years to earn, even 12 years for someone on the minimum wage. Greg, I thought there would have been a stronger reaction to the RTE undercover story about private nursing homes. I watched it at the weekend and I found it very disturbing, even though I've no relatives in that situation. There were a few noises about reviews of practice and all that, but it's just words. I thought our politicians would be absolutely hopping mad about this issue. A review of practices, etc., is all very well, but it will take ages and will end up as a box-ticking exercise. That's not much good to the poor, unfortunate people living in these care homes day in and day out. It's also hard to believe that only two homes are involved. Do nursing homes get prior notice of an inspection or audit, and whatever it's called? Maybe I missed the big reaction from our public reps. Well, there was. But the news cycle moves on. I mean, everyone was aghast. And I think I actually said at the time, you know, this will all pass in a day or two. And then what? HIC would go in, announced. And how does that spot what happens at 9 or 10 o'clock at night? Just in relation to there was only two nursing homes, what RTE would have done is they would have got information from whistleblowers. People working within the industry would have said, look, there's problems here. And because of resources, they would have focused resources on those two. It doesn't mean that they went into a further 10 and everything was rosy. It's just the nature of investigation. But I get you. We move on wild quick.